Okay, I'm going to start out with some announcements after I release the kids, because I always forget to do that. Starting a new leaf today, okay? So if you're a kid, go back with Miss Rachel and Miss Joyce, and you guys are going to prepare for something special today. Y'all can get excited, because we're going to see the kids again. Kids are on my heart right now. I was able to hang out with some of the youth on Friday night, and we had a good time. And then I got to go see Dylan over there wrestle someone to the ground in his wrestling match on Saturday. He got third place, right? Yeah, third place. Yes. And that was a lot of schools. I mean, there was like, I don't know, I felt like there was like 10 schools there or something like that, but there were a lot of schools there. So he did a fabulous job, and it was fun to participate in that. But coming up, I just wanted to give you guys some heads up on some of the stuff that we're planning. First of all, Christmas Eve. This is going to be a time where we're basically reading through the scripture, reading the Christmas story, praising God. We're going to have some worship. I've got a friend who is very talented in singing, and her dad is going to come and play the guitar, and we're just going to worship that night and give glory to God, and then just fellowship afterwards with some good desserts, right? Everybody good with the desserts? Yes, so I'm excited about that time. Invite the people that you can. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be here, and then from here, I'm going to go. And I'm going to go into some of the neighborhoods nearby, and I'm just going to invite people to this service, because I think it can be, most people are like, yeah, I'll come on Christmas. You know, church on Christmas, that sounds right. Okay, so I'm going to do that. So I'm going to invite some people. If anybody would like to do that with me, show up here about, 6 o'clock or so, and then I'm just going to kind of move on from there and just go and knock on doors and invite people. If not, I'm going to have a good time doing it by myself. So, but I think it's really important that we invite people to this event, that we give them that opportunity to know that it's happening, because a lot of people don't have a home for Christmas. They don't have a place where they can come and hear that Christmas story, you know, in the way that we're going to be doing it. So I'm excited about that. And then on January 19th, I have a very special friend. She used to lead the student worship for our retreats and things like that. She's going to come and do a worship night for us. And she's very talented, and she is a firecracker. You'll love her, and she is just very talented. She plays the guitar and she sings, and she's just going to come and she's going to lead us in some worship. So I'm very excited about that. Who else is excited about worship? Come on. Yes. Okay. So these are just some things in the future, and also something that's not in the bulletin yet, because I just discussed it with the boys back there over the phone, but on New Year's Eve, I think we're going to have a youth get together. And that's for any parents who are willing to come pick up their kids at like 12:30. Okay, so that's something that's going to be there. We're just going to hang until midnight and ring in the new year together and have fun, food, fellowship, nothing big, serious, just, hang time. So that's something to put on your radar if you know any people in the youth area age. They are all invited, and that would be middle school and high school for this event. Again, anybody whose parents are willing to come and pick them up at 12:30 in the morning, okay, or can provide their own ride. So those are some of the things coming down the bucket. So I'm excited about that, and I'm also excited about this week finishing up our series on fight, which is our spiritual warfare series that we've been in now. This is the 8th week. But let me tell you this right now, we don't stop spiritual warfare because I stopped the series, right? It goes on, and it will always go on. We always need to, in everything that I preach and everything that I bring to you, I need to always be cognizant of the fact that there's something going on around us that we cannot see. And that's what we've been talking about, that we are warriors in the fight to glorify God. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are a warrior. Now, you may be a horrible warrior, you could be a great warrior, one or the other, you're still a warrior, okay, and you're reflecting on Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that Last week we went over the sword of the Spirit, and we learned that the sword of the Spirit will cut apart the plans of the devil. So the devil is very powerful, yes. But because the Spirit of God is in us, we have way more power than the devil ever will. And we have power to go in and decisively win victories for Jesus Christ in this world. And that's what the sword of the Spirit is for. But the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's literally in the moment Word of God, and listening to God as we go through the day and listening for these promptings, and then listening to the Word of God in general in the Bible and through the Bible, and filtering that through the Bible, and then being able to respond to what God needs us to do in the moment. Because we can read the Bible but not listen to the Holy Spirit, and we can end up making mistakes. The Holy Spirit's in us. He's real. He's living. He's active. Right? He didn't just stop with the Bible. And that's what the sword of the Spirit is. And that enables us to, again, defeat the plans of the devil. The devil does not know the future. Our God does. Right? So you got him. All you got to do is listen to the God that we serve. So I'm going to start off again in Ephesians 6, reading this scripture, which is so powerful. Says in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Okay, so this is the armor of God. We've been through all of the pieces, and some would argue that prayer is the last piece, right? And I would totally support that. And we talked about prayer last week, is that you can't hear from the Spirit if you're not praying. That's part of the sword of the Spirit, I feel like. But what we need to realize about all of this armor is that you need to put it on, okay? Before you go into battle, you got to put on the armor. A lot of us, we wait until the middle of the battle, right? And we're like, "Oh yeah, I need to put on that righteousness. Oh yeah, I need to put on the Word of God." What does the Bible say about this? So then, you know, and that's better than nothing. But let me tell you, the best way is to prepare and to put on that armor, as Paul's calling us to do, before we step on that battlefield. In fact, every morning, I would say, put on your armor. Make that the first thing that you do. Not after you check your email, not after you check your Facebook, not after you go and take a shower, but the first thing that you do, put on that armor, understanding that the devil does not rest, right? He's after you first thing. So I'm going to put on that armor so that I'm prepared and that I can respond in a way that is powerful. Now, and put on the full armor, right? Don't just put on little pieces of the armor, the pieces that make sense to you. Okay, you got to put on the full armor of God. When it says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, some of us are like, "Well, you know, that righteousness is hard, and there's things that I like to do that don't necessarily jive with what God wants me to do." But you know what? If you don't put on that breastplate of righteousness, you are exposed to the attacks of the enemy. Okay, I don't care if you like it or not. It's just a fact. If you don't pick up that shield of faith and hold it, you're exposing yourself to the enemy. If you don't put on the peace of God, you're exposing yourself to the enemy. So we do that first thing. And again, I would do it every day. Now, I've simplified things for you a little bit, just because I want you to be able to remember it really easily. So if you look at my list here, we have the belt, Okay, and that belt is the truth of God. So we need to put on the truth of God. That means we need to know the truth of God, right? We need to get in scriptures, like we talked about. We need to know what God says about different things. And we need to keep studying and valuing the Word of God. Like it's actually real. Value it. Put it in your brain. Make it part of who you are. I know the truth of God. So when I get into a situation, I'm not trying to figure out what it is. Because a lot of the times, I would say 90% of the times when you enter a situation, God has already spoken about that situation, hasn't he? He's already told you what to do. It's in the Bible. Okay? The breastplate is obedience to God. That's what righteousness is. It's saying, yes, God, your will above mine. I'm going to be obedient to you. And we need to get to a place where we say yes to God automatically. That's our first reaction, yes to God. Okay? Not our first reaction being, well, I want to do this. What does God say? No, no, no. What does God say? And I'm going to do this. That is the breastplate of righteousness. It's putting God's will above our own and sticking to it no matter what. That's the first thing that I'm going to do. And then the shoes is peace with God. We have peace with God. That is the good news of the gospel, is that we now have peace with God. And before, we didn't. We had enmity with God. And that's a problem when you have the Almighty God looking down and saying, I'm not all right with you. And because of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made, we can now have peace with God. And that's what this birth of Jesus is all about that we're going to be celebrating, right? It's like glory to God on highest, peace and goodwill towards men. That's what Jesus brought into the world. And that's what we need to carry with us everywhere we go. We shouldn't be going around the world all freaking out about everything because we have the peace of God. If nothing else, we have peace with God. And that is worth more than anything else. And that will save us no matter what. Satan can't do anything against that. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then the shield is just trusting God. That's what faith is, just putting your trust in God. Not just believing, but trusting. Like actually, you know, if God says this, I'm going to do it and just know that God's on the other side taking care of me. We're going to trust in God no matter what. And then we talked about the helmet being our identity. When we become saved, the helmet of salvation gives us a new identity in Christ. And that when we put that on, we can now walk in that identity. I don't have to walk as a broken person anymore because now I'm a son of God. Because that's what Jesus Christ has done for me through his salvation. He didn't just save us from our sins. He adopted us into the family of God. And that's our new identity. And if people see that in us and see the confidence that comes through us, they're going to be like, whoa, there's something different about you. What is that? And that's going to allow us to then give them the gospel of peace. And it's going to be something worthwhile. But if we're walking around in the wrong clothes, right? Working on in anxiety and walking around like we're, you know, we're messed up and God, I'm ashamed to be with God. And I see Christians like that. They feel like God's just judging them all the time. Through Jesus Christ, God is not judging you. Through Jesus Christ, God has adopted you and loves you. Just like when I look at Lilium, my daughter. She messes up sometimes, but do I love her any less? No. That's how God looks at us. And we need to know that and realize that that's our identity. Our identity is not what the world is saying. Our identity is not what Satan is saying because he's going to come in and try to tell you all these lies about you. You're not good enough. God can't use you. When God's coming and saying, no, you are my beloved child. That's what we put on when we put on the helmet of salvation. And then the sword. The sword is just direction from God. We need to get our direction from God. And we need to be open for that. We need to be listening for that. Because you can read the Bible and then go and just act on the Bible, but never get direction from God and you could be doing the wrong thing. And yes, the Bible is always going to align with what God is telling you in the moment. So the Bible is a perfect filter. that you can use to determine whether or not God is speaking to you through His Spirit. But we need to be listening and reactive to it, because if we're not, we're going to miss moments where God can powerfully move. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." This is the spiritual battle that we're in. Our enemy's on his toes, he's fighting. He's not sitting back. He's fighting. Every moment he's fighting to take us down, to bring us down. This is like a roaring lion. Think about that. You see a little antelope in the field and the lion just stalking them, just waiting for the right moment. This is the adversary that we fight. And we've already been over some of the weapons that he uses, right? Distraction. He loves to distract us with stuff so that we don't even think about the war that's going on around us. If we don't think about spiritual warfare, we ain't fighting that battle. He loves to discourage us about who we are, to throw lies at us about who we are, tear us down. He loves to bring discontentment into our life, where we look around at everything around us and say, "Well, I really should have that, or I really need that. And I'm not happy right now because I don't have these things." We have salvation and peace with God. That is the joy that allowed Paul to sit in jail and sing after being beaten and flogged. That is what we've got. Nothing's going to tear me down after that. But the devil wants to bring that discontentment. Division. The devil loves division. When you see division, it's like a road sign. What's the devil trying to do in this? If he's trying to divide us, it's when you look at this world, we are so divided. Just look at the church. The current state of the church is so sad because we are divided. And Satan's doing that. So when within our own body, within our own families, within our friends, our families, everything, we need to be looking at, is Satan trying to divide us? Is my little petty, thing I got against somebody, is that worth division between my brother? Oh, they offended me. Oh, no. This is my brother. I've got to love this person. That's what Christ has called me to. I'm not going to let Satan divide me. And then doubt. He loves to cast doubt on the truth of God, on the word of God, whether or not that word is going to work in this moment. God says this about finances, but you know what? I don't know. I don't know if God really understands my finances. Yeah, he does. But the devil loves to come in, and he loves to cast doubt on things. And then deception, just flat out lying. He says, this bad thing is good. Satan loves to say, this bad thing is good. And he does it over and over and over again in our lives. And people fall for it over and over and over again. And we see the culture following after so many bad things, folly, it's destructive. And you see the destruction in culture and you're like, wow, they've just bought into that lie. And then, of course, destruction. He is at the current time, God has given him power over this world. He can bring destruction into our lives. Physical destruction. He can bring illness into our life. He can bring calamity into our life. And he can do that. And what is his goal in doing that? Is to take us down. But you know what? If we put the armor of God on, we're not going to fall. We can stand against all of the attacks of the enemy. They're obvious. Ephesians 6 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. This is the battle that's going on around us. And we need to be vigilant about staying in it and realizing where we are and what we're up against. We can't just, Sundays turn it on. Yeah, I'm going to fight on Sundays. This battle goes on every day of our life, in every arena of our life. And God wants us to fight. because the stakes are real. There are people whose lives and souls are hanging in the balance. And he wants us on that battlefield fighting against the enemy. And he's got a plan. And his plan's not going to fail. But man, I want to be a part of that. Right? I just don't want to be on a sideline. I want to be a warrior and I want to fight well. How many people want to fight well? Yeah? So I'm like, I'm just tired, man. But okay. God can give you the energy. God can give you the strength to do this. And as you see the victories, guess what? He's going to give you more strength. Because you're going to be like, oh, wow, look what God did. Look what God did through this church. Right? So where does Satan attack? These are the areas I want you guys to think about today. First of all, church. He is going to use all of those things, all those weapons, distraction, discouragement, discontentment, division, doubt, deception, destruction, to take down the church. And when I say the church, I mean the full church. I also mean this church. Okay, because I'm leading this church, right? God is obviously the head of this church. But I'm leading this church. And I don't want to see Satan win in any of these areas. No, but he's here and he's trying to attack. Right now he's trying to attack. He doesn't like this. He sees people coming together on a rainy day and worshiping God. And he says, oh, what can I do to tear that down? But you know what? If we put on the armor of God, he can't do a thing. He can't do a thing. He has no power over us that we do not give him. But with the church, what do you see? You see people get offended. You see people have their own visions about what should be happening. You know, when they put those visions, they're like, well, you know, I'm going to go to another different church. You know, I went to a church before I came here, and it was amazing. The worship there was incredible. The preaching there was sound. It was good. It was the word of God. And we still had people leaving. You know why? Because Satan divides. He gets in and people take offenses and they take, oh, he said that to me the wrong way. Or he asked me to do that again. Oh, man. And Satan takes that and he multiplies and he just starts lying. And he starts bringing deceit in and discouragement. And people just get, they just get bored. You know, there's all sorts of ways that Satan can divide the church. And I don't want that to happen here. I want us to be a family. I want us to be a place where we come and we are unified. Do you know what Jesus asked for before he died? John 17, verse 20 says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who also believe in me through their word, that they may be one. Even as you, Father, and in me, and I are in you, excuse me, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. See, if we can be one, what does Jesus say? The world's going to believe, they're going to see something, and they'll be like, wow, there's unity there, there's love there. What's different about that place? Because there's plenty of places that you don't see that. I mean, I go to, you know, the work that I used to do, there's all these little divisions, you know, and all these little people, this group did this and this group did this. You know, we're going to separate our groups out. That's not what Christ prayed for. He weeped blood for. It's like, I'm going to pray for my believers, and what I'm going to pray that they are one. And what now, what we're seeing is we're seeing people leaving the church. 2019, and again, I'm sure this is worse now because it just degrades. And I just picked out 18 to 35 year olds because I thought this was an interesting demographic. This is the future of the church, right? If Jesus does not come back today, right? 27% of 18 to 35 year olds identify as born again believers. 27%. That's a lot of people that don't know Jesus Christ. That means when you go around and you're walking around, three of the people around you don't know Jesus and they need Jesus. And these are just the people that identify that. That doesn't mean they actually have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. But these are just the people that say, yeah, I'm a born-again believer. Sure. Because, you know, 33% of those attend church never or one time per year. So of the 27% that say they're born-again believers, 33% of those people don't go to church. They have no connection to the body of Christ whatsoever. And if you read the Bible, there are so many commandments that we cannot do if we're not connected into the body of Christ through his church. You can't put on full righteousness if you're not connected into the church of God. We just have to, it's just a reality check. And this is what Satan's doing. He's attacking the church. He's pulling it down. And listen, I want to turn that around. Right? When I put my armor on God, that's the battle I'm going to fight. And I'm going to be very cognizant when I'm here that the devil is trying to sow division. The devil is trying to discourage me. The devil is trying to destroy me. That's what his goal is. So when I start feeling those feelings, guess what I'm going to say? Nope. Where's my armor of God? Where's my identity? Where's my helmet of salvation? Is it in the right place? Marriage and relationships. It's another place where the devil loves to attack. Ephesians 5 says, submit one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. And then in verse 25, it goes on to say, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless himself. That is the call that marriage is. And I see, you know, I worked in marriage ministry for so long, so I saw a lot of divorces. There's only two grounds that Christ gives for divorce in the Bible, and this is the truth. There's infidelity, physical infidelity, and then there's abandonment. And then everything else, Ephesians 5, 21 through 27, this is how we live. Why? Because it's the truth of God, and we trust God. You know, I'm supposed to love Rachel as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And if I do that, I can trust that God is going to hold my marriage together. He's going to give me the power to hold my marriage together. And I'm going to fight for that, because the Satan that's in charge of this world is fighting against it. He hates marriage. You know why he hates marriage? Because I really believe it's the revelation of the image of God on earth. It's the Trinity. It's the husband, the wife, and out of that love comes the child. It's literally the image of God, and Satan looks at that and he hates it. It's everything that he stands against, unity and life, all the things that he's trying to divide us, and here we have this bond trying to hold us together. So do we fight for our marriages, or do we let little things throw us off? Have we let the invisible divorce happen to where, well, you know, we just live our separate lives? Or are we engaging with each other and loving each other on a daily basis? Are we strengthening those marriages so people on the outside look at our marriages and say, there's something different? Because right now, I'm telling you right now, the divorce rate between evangelical Christians and the rest of the world is no different. Why? Why? Because Satan has gotten in, and we haven't been wearing our armor in our marriages. We've decided to take off pieces of our armor in our marriages. What about children and the next generation? The next generation, Satan is after right now. He is sowing so many lies into their lives about what they should believe and what they should do. You know, the public school system, there are some amazing teachers in the public school system. There are some amazing ministers in the public school system. But let me tell you this, it is a university for secular humanism, not Christianity. And that's what they're getting when they go to school. Literally, the curriculum is teaching them that there is no God. And Satan loves it. That's the spiritual battle that they're having to fight. And as parents, and as people supporting parents, right? We need to get in that battle. People are coming home from those schools. We need to be, hey, what's going on? We need to be providing spaces for kids to come and actually learn the truth about God. I was just at a conference with Tony Evans. Y'all know him, right? Yeah, y'all familiar with him? You know what he was talking about? This is that there's a battle for the souls of our kids. You know what the world wants our kids' identity to be based in? Sexuality. What? How is that an identity? Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Everything else doesn't matter. But the world is trying to convince them that the most important thing is that they have freedom of expression through sexuality, which we've never had as Christians. As Christians, we've never had the freedom. I mean, God has always said sex is within a marriage that I ordained, a man and a woman coming together. This has always been what it was because he had a purpose for it. It was to create life, right? But there's a battle for our children right now. And some of it's just plain evil. And we need to get on board with that and understand what it is. And we need to fight that battle and put our armor on every time we go with our kids. We need to be being the examples that we need to be with our kids, right? Because our kids are looking at us. How are we dressing every morning? And we need to dress the right way, put on our armor so that the kids know, you know, every day my dad put on his armor and that's how he survived and that's how he loved our family. So that when they grow up, they'll do the same thing. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in a way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So listen, we have a responsibility to train our children and to train them right. 2017, 66%, and again, I'm sure it's worse right now, of regular attending Protestant kids stopped attending church regularly after high school. So these are kids that were in the church, they were going to all the events and all the youth groups and all that stuff, and then after, they stopped. Why? Because there's a spiritual battle going on for their souls. There's a lot of lies that Satan's telling them that they're believing. And Matthew 18:6 says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. So how important is this battle? God loves those kids. We need to make sure that we are raising them right. Now we're teaching them the right things, that we're getting them to church, that we're teaching them, hey, this is a priority. This is where we do life. What about in our jobs? Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. This is what God is telling us to do with our jobs. You can go to a job and not like it. But what God's telling us to do, if we're putting on the breastplate of righteousness, we're going to do it to the best of our ability. Because our reward is not here. It's not being happy in my job. My reward is in heaven. There's a spiritual battle. And I'm telling you right now, the devil's going to come and make you discontent at your job. I've been there. He's going to come and try to tell you there's a better job and you're not being treated well. You're not being paid right. But you think Paul's writing to people that don't experience that? No. Some of the people he's experiencing were slaves. And he's saying, do whatever you do to God, because there's a spiritual battle going on right now. And winning that battle has to do with you representing God the right way. And when you're at your job and you're working to your best of your ability and people look at you, they're going to listen to you. And you're going to have more influence on them. And God can work in those situations to bring people to Him and win that battle. So I'm going to say, no, Satan, you can't have my contentment. I'm keeping it. I love my job, by the way, so I don't really have to worry about that. But I've been in job. Trust me, I've been there. Okay, what about hobbies? Where we spend our time? Because listen, we're talking about distractions. The devil can distract us by a lot of different things and get us thinking about all these different things out here. You know, I am really susceptible to this because I'm a researcher. I like to research things. And truthfully, I could have about 10 million hobbies. Because, I mean, I like to research motorcycles. I like to go shooting. I like to build Legos. I mean, just name it. I like to get into it. And I want to get into it all the way. But how much time does that take out of my life? So much time. When there's a battle going on me for people's souls, I've got to look at this and say, listen, is there a way, if I'm going to bring a hobby into my life, I'm going to make sure that I don't take so much of my time that I cannot listen to the Holy Spirit, that I cannot use my time to bring people to Christ? Or is it a hobby that I can use to bring people to Christ? I'm going to get strategic against the devil, right? Okay, I love to do this. Well, you know what? I'm going to do it for God. And I'm going to make Him the center of it, not someone I just throw in every now and then and mention. Right? You look at Tim Tebow. You know, he took his love for football and he's turned it into a ministry that's rescuing people from the slave trade, sexual slave trade. That's taking a hobby and using it against Satan. Okay? I see that. So hobbies aren't bad, but it's what you do with them. Is that hobby distracting you from knowing God? Is it distracting you from knowing the Word of God and spending time with God and putting your armor on every morning? Are you instead putting on your hobby every morning? You know, watching, I got to get that YouTube video this morning. What's the latest thing that's come out? Free time, same thing. We can use our free time for good things or you can use them for bad things. But they all need to glorify God. And listen, your heart, your free time is a sign of where your heart is. Now, what are you using your free time for? You know, I see some people in this church using their free time to come and do yard work at the church. And I'm like, wow, that's huge. You know, I'm seeing people at this church going and helping people and going to their house and bringing them food. I see people using their free time to pray for people. See, those are people who are on the battlefield. They understand the spiritual battle that we're in. Charles Finney said, he was an evangelist that grew up during the slave era, and he was a big abolitionist in terms of what he preached, and some of the stuff he was preaching rubbed people the wrong way. And he said this, revival is no more a miracle than a crop of wheat. Which is interesting. A crop of wheat is just something that people sowed and it grew up, right? And a revival is just us harvesting that. It says, revival comes from heaven when heroic souls enter the conflict determined to win or die, or if need be, to win and die. And then he quotes Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Man. He knew what the battle was. He was in the battle. 2 Corinthians 10 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." That's somebody in the battle. Every thought. I'm being very, very, you know, strategic about the way I fight this battle. Yeah, I'm not going to let moments go by where I don't think about it. I'm going to make sure I understand the battle that's around me, and I'm going to fight it. So we have a bunch of little kids coming around because we've been teaching them some stuff. Because I believe in the next generation. How many people believe in the next generation? Okay. And what we've been teaching them back there is very similar to what we've been learning out here. Except maybe not so, sorry. So we're going to have them come up on stage, and they're going to demonstrate a little bit of what they've been learning for us. Is that okay?
Okay, so we are going to share with you the memory verse we've been working on in Salem Kids. Are y'all ready for Ephesians 6:13? Okay, so they're going to share the memory verse, and then we have something fun for you right afterward, okay?
All right, here we go. Everybody come around, talk into the microphone. All right,
"Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist the evil days, and have done everything, stand firm." Ephesians 6:13.
All right, go ahead and spread out a little bit. Spread out a little bit.
All right, so at this time, go ahead and clap along, sing along. We'll have the words up on the screen, and we're going to do a fun song with you this morning.
Strong in the armor, strong in the armor of God. I am standing, strong in the armor. out there. On every side I'm getting pressed in, but no fear, cause you know what I'm dressed in. I got peace all up in these boots, and this belt around my waist help me speak that truth. Now when the giants seem big and it all gets dark, I got a shield of faith big enough to block those fiery darts. A breastplate of righteousness guarding my heart, part of the reason I ain't falling apart. Yeah, I'm prepared this time. Helmet of salvation to protect my mind. Make the enemy feel it. Sword of the spirit when I strike back. Ain't no getting up this time, cause I'm standing.
I am standing.